In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with Volume 12, May 16th, 1917. Divine will is divine life. So we continue. My daughter, Jesus says to Louisa, every time the creature fuses herself in me, she gives the influence of divine life to all creatures. So here we see very clearly what Jesus is asking of us. Linked with Jesus and Mary through Louisa, we want to fuse ourselves with the Holy Trinity. And then Jesus shows us to do this, to fuse ourselves. Fusing is welding, to be one with, never to be broken. When we fuse ourselves with the Holy Trinity every morning when we do our prevenient act, we also fuse ourselves with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Jesus says that the Father wanted the reflection of the Trinity on earth, and that is the mission of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. With creation, now with Jesus and Mary, redemption, and now with Louisa, sanctification. This is what's coming to the earth. So throughout the day, when you fuse yourself, not only in the morning when you do your prevenient act, but your actual acts, you fuse yourself with Jesus, just saying to Jesus, I want to fuse myself with you. Every time you fuse yourself in Jesus, and Mary and Louisa, this fusing of the mission of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, your soul gives the influence of the divine life to all of humanity. Everything is changing every time you do this. Now, as people begin to read and study and put into practice the truths of the divine will throughout the world, the more that people begin to fuse themselves with Jesus, and it's always Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, one with this reflection of the Trinity on earth, the soul gives influence of the divine life to all of humanity. Your family is changing. Your nation, all the nations are changing. All of humanity is changing. Some people describe it as going in from a negative frequency to a higher frequency, to a frequency of love, peace, joy, heaven. This is what's happening. It's actually happening. Everything is changing for the good. When God created the earth, basically said everything was good. And then the evil one came in and led Adam away from that good life, if you want to say, to a life of misery. And this is where we've been for the last 6,000 years. Even though Jesus has redeemed us 2,000 years ago, we are still in this negativity. And we have to enter into the positive. We have to. Because that's heaven. So every time you fuse yourself with the divine will, all of humanity is changing. And Jesus says, according to their own needs, the creatures obtain their effects. So here, because of this great gift of the divine will, anything that anyone needs, Jesus says, according to their own needs, the souls obtain their effects. So everything, again, is this positive that's coming. That's why Jesus says very clearly to the apostles, ask, believe that you have received it and it is yours. This is the one thing that our Lord is asking of us to live. We shouldn't be filled with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and even sin. That's not part of our life. What God is asking us to do is to enter into heaven while on earth. So Jesus says to Louisa, those who are weak feel this strength. Those who are obstinate in sin receive light. Those who suffer receive comfort, and so with all the rest. So we see very clearly that everything that you're striving for in perfection is going to come to you little by little. It's not overnight. That day, when that day happens, the earth is going to shudder. The earth is going to shake with joy. A lot of people look at the shaking as negative, but we're going to be so happy, so joyful, so peaceful to enter into this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, that If you're weak, you're going to feel strength. If you're obstinate in sin, you're going to receive light. If you suffer, you're going to receive comfort. And Jesus says, and everything else, everything is going to turn into the positive. So Jesus is asking us to live the positive now. Instead of doom and gloom, we should be rejoicing. We should be that light, Jesus says to Louisa, of the divine will. When everything seems to be going down the drain, we have to see God is in charge. I mean, when Jesus died on the cross, it seemed as if everything went down the drain. All the apostles ran away except for John. Mary was at the cross watching her son die. Everything was gone. I mean, the hope seemed to just disappear. Yet Our Lady, when you read the prodigies of Our Lady in the Divine Will, when you read that, she didn't give up hope. Her Christian hope is certitude. Even though we don't see it, even though this might be a difficult suffering that we're going through, God is going to take care of it. And that's how she lived. She lived that from her conception on. And even though her heart was pierced in two, if you want to say like Jesus's heart, her heart was split in two watching her son die, she had this trust, this confidence, this hope in God. And I've heard many, many people who have lost their children pray that prayer, you know, that fiat. A good priest friend of mine was astonished when this woman who had seven sons, the youngest son died in a car accident. The priest went to the house, good Catholic family, and he was greeted by the woman opening the door and saying to him, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The prayer of Job. And it enlivened his faith. I mean, he knew the sorrow that the family was going through, but the trust in God was there. The hope in God was there. The confidence in God was there. And that's why Jesus said to St. Faustina, "The final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you." And this is where we are today. It looks doom and gloom out there, but God is in charge. It looks like everything's falling apart, but God is in charge. See, he has to give to the evil one what he wants. God gave to the devil hell, and he's now given to humanity. What do you want? Do you want heaven or do you want hell? And again, when you really think of the 3 days of darkness, that's God saying to the devil, take what's yours and go. This 3 days of darkness is 3 days of death coming to the earth. But for those who are one with God, it's life. And even light, when the darkness comes upon the earth, what's the prophecy? Have a blessed candle with you. That blessed candle is the only thing that's going to light. And you will have light in the darkness, even though it's a candlelight. But it's to anticipate the new day that's coming after the 3 days of darkness. So it's nothing to be afraid of. It's to long for and put everything in order, especially the order of your life. Clean your room as if you were dead. That's important to know. Clean your room as if you were dead. What does that mean? Basically, it's if you were dead, most of the stuff that you have in your room is going to be gone. Most everything is going to be gone. Maybe they might even throw everything out and redesign the room, you know. It's to get everything in order with God, to begin to live a life that is worthy of God. So in volume 12, October 4th, 1917, Jesus says, "As I was shedding my blood, I said to each drop, run, run, save man for me. If he is dead, give him life, but give him divine life." Now here, Jesus is showing us that the Son of God, dying on the cross, shedding every drop of his blood, Mary being with Jesus, offering her son to the Heavenly Father. She knew that either Jesus had to die or all of humanity had to die. So she offered her son to die. And so as he's shedding his blood, he says every drop of his life was to save humanity. If the person is dead in sin, give him life, but not just ordinary life anymore, not just this miserable life that we're in, where there's worry, there's fear, there's anxiety, there's complaints, there's negativity, there's sin. Not that. He says, but divine life. So this prayer that Jesus has on gave on the cross, and this is why it's so important to have the cross in our homes, to have Christ crucified, Jesus nailed to the cross. He says very clearly, give them life. Every drop of his blood, give them life. And when you see like Mel Gibson's movie and you see Christ crucified, that's a glimpse of what Jesus went through. When you're sweating, when you're bleeding, blood is all over the place. It just expands, you know, if you want to say and so the body of Jesus, they said, didn't even look like a human. He looked like a fleeced lamb. This is something that our God wants us to become aware of. So if you have a cross, make sure it's just not somebody there looking pretty. It was awful. Jesus took our place, and it should be. If you're complaining, this is what the saints say. If you're complaining, it's because you haven't meditated on Christ crucified. This is why he gave us the 24 hours of the Passion. As we go through this, as we walk with Jesus to Calvary, as we stand with Mary and John and Magdalene at the foot of the cross with Louisa. Louisa was there. There's no time or space in the divine will. She shows this. Jesus says, you're with me in Calvary. And we want to be with Jesus. So the most important thing is Christ crucified, where he redeemed us. And now with Louisa, he's saying, I want to now sanctify you. So this is our life, is to be with Jesus at his conception, to be with Jesus at his birth, to be with Jesus in the hidden life, and most especially to be with Jesus at the crucifixion, death, and resurrection. He said, I rose from the dead so that humanity will receive this abundant life, this divine life. So he wants us to participate in all that Jesus did. And this is what the rounds are about. When you pray your rounds, it's not you. I mean, what can you give God? What can a human give God? But with Jesus, one with Jesus, beat in my heart beating, circulate in my blood circulating. You, I want you to be the life of my body, mind, and heart and soul. I want you to be my everything. I want you, Jesus, to be in charge of my intellect, memory, and will. I don't want to be in charge anywhere, because humanly, it doesn't get you anywhere. But divinely, This is why God is, he saved the best for last, to give us this great gift of the divine will. Finally, in these end times is essential. It really is essential. So volume 12, March 26, 1918. Therefore, one more act or one less act done in my divine will is one more beauty or one beauty less that a soul acquires. So every thought, every word, every deed, that's why Jesus says, I want you to be attentive. I want you to be attentive to doing your acts and your rounds in the divine will, praying your acts and your rounds in the divine will. So he says, when you begin in the morning with your prevening act and then your actual acts throughout the day, as you plan, you say to Jesus, this is how I want to do it today. One with you, fused with you in the holy divine will. I want to, every thought, every word, every deed, have you, Lord, do this within me. I don't want to do it anymore in my fallen human nature, even though you have been redeemed. But now by being redeemed, I want you, Jesus, to reign in me completely, not just a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but I want you to be the Lord of every thought, every word, every deed. I want you to be the Lord of my intellect, memory, and will. So Jesus says, one more act that you do in the divine is one more beauty. It's a divine beauty. It's not a human beauty. One act less done in my holy divine will is one beautiful act that's not there, that you don't acquire that act. So Jesus is saying to Louisa all the time, be attentive. Now, if you haven't read the book, Be Attentive, It's a good way to understand what Jesus is asking of us in the divine will. It's the same thing with you must know, or did you know? Did you not know this? Jesus said to Louisa. That book is, it's what it is everything that Jesus said to Louisa when he said, you must know this. And then he gives a paragraph of what he wants us to know. That's why that book, it's a compilation of all that Jesus said with that phrase. And it's the same thing with doing the will of God, living in the will of God, being attentive. This is how you are to be attentive, Jesus says. He says, but not only losing a beauty or acquiring a beauty, this divine beauty, Jesus says, but every additional act that the soul does in my divine will, the soul takes on one more divine strength, one more divine wisdom, one more divine love, one more divine sanctity. Why? Because Jesus is doing this in us. We're one with him. So everything that he has done, it's an addition to our life. This is the reason why when you really read the book of heaven, you're happy, you're peaceful, you're joyful. When you really read the book of heaven, that you know that you're receiving a divine strength. You know you're receiving divine wisdom. You know you're receiving this divine love, this divine sanctity. This is what Jesus says. It's one more atom of divine strength, one more atom of divine wisdom, one more atom of divine love, one more atom of divine sanctity. He wants our whole being, all that we possess and all those atoms, to be now a divine strength, divine wisdom, divine love, divine sanctity. So when people see, this is the thing, when people say, well, I'm living in the divine will, it's one more atom. It's the fullness of that is not here yet. We haven't seen anything yet. And so Jesus is saying, I'm waiting for the souls who must live in my divine will. So it's an encouragement to us that we continue to do our acts, our rounds in the divine will. One more additional act is a divine strength. One more additional act is a divine wisdom, a divine love, a divine sanctity, another atom of divinity, if you want to say, sharing in divinity. This is what God, I mean, remember what Jesus says. Jesus said, and sacred scripture tells us what we are now as children of God. What we do know is we will become like him because we will see him as he is. We don't know what it's going to be like, but we know we will become like him. What's this likeness? It's sharing in divinity. It's that drop of water that fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. It's every atom in that drop of water is changed. Okay. That event for humanity is very close. And it's after the 3 days of darkness, basically. So we have to go through what God has called us to go through, like cleaning your room as if you were dead. You know, make sure you get rid of everything that's not of God. You know, everything. I mean, a speck of dust. You know, this is what Jesus is asking of us. He's asking us to be diligent in learning how to live in the divine will, receiving divine strength for every act, receiving divine wisdom for every act, is receiving divine love for every act, receiving divine sanctity with every act that you do, thought, word, and deed. And while Jesus says, and while the soul takes the divine qualities, now the divine qualities, to understand the divine qualities, you should be praying every day if you go to Holy Mass or even making a spiritual communion, those six steps that Our Lady teaches Louisa, the first 6 days of, it's like the first 6 days of creation. The final step is to receive the divine qualities as much as a human can possibly embrace, as much as you can. Like he says this to Louisa, take whatever you want. And Louisa's taking all these treasures. And she says, I'm little. He says, we'll come back and get more later. But take as much as you want. It's to overflowing. This is what God wants to do with us. It's not just about being good and holy and saintly. It's about sharing in divinity. Sharing in divinity is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that was given to Louisa. And our God is wanting us to take on these divine qualities. And again, it's atom by atom. It's not the fullness of it. It's every time you do it, it's building on. It's like growing within you. Jesus says, when you let me into your heart, your heart becomes my throne in you. When the throne of God is established in your heart, he says, you are conceiving God. If you want to say that the atoms, the cells of conception. I mean, you have to understand he's talking about a divine language with human terms. What happens? Well, it's like being conceived in Jesus, being conceived in us. And now he wants us to grow. How does this happen? By doing our acts and our rounds in the divine will. This is why praying the rounds are so essential. And if you haven't learned how to pray the rounds, go to luisapicaretta.me and download the grounds book. Put it on your iPhone. Put it on your computer. Learn how every word in the rounds book is what Jesus and Mary and Luisa have said. It's not the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints are beautiful, but that's learning how to do the will of God. The prayers of Jesus, Mary, and Luisa, which Jesus had taught Luisa, is to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not good and holy. It's not just good and holy and saintly, volume 1 through volume 10. It's living in the divine will, volume 11 through volume 19, through the power of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus said, no saint possessed on earth, because you need the book of heaven. You need what Jesus said to Luisa. It's like you wouldn't have known what divine mercy was. If you get a glimpses of it, but until Jesus came to St. Faustina, we had no idea until Jesus came to Margaret Mary. I know there was a Mary in it. We didn't know about the Sacred Heart. We had glimpses of it. What Jesus has done with Luisa is help us understand how to live in a new and divine way of holiness, as John Paul II has prophesied. This is what's coming to humanity. So she says, while she takes on the divine qualities, she leaves behind the human qualities, the human ones. And there's really no quality in human. I mean, people can have talent. They can be good and holy and saintly doing the will of God, but living in the will of God is the life of Jesus and Mary. So it's to advance, if you want to say spiritually, to advance and begin to live this desired life of Jesus, this desired life of Mary that they breathed into Luisa. So the divine qualities are found in Jesus and Mary. This is why this is so amazing what God has given to Luisa. While she takes on the divine qualities, she leaves behind the human qualities, the human ones, because the divine qualities compared to the human, it's leaping light years away from the human. The true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve is how God wants us to live. That's the life that he exchanged for our human, our fallen human nature. That's why he says, I want my children to live the resurrected life. Like he said, with the young man being brought out on the litter, the only son of a widowed mother. And Jesus went and touched the litter and the boy came back to life. He says to Luisa, this is what I'm going to do with humanity. I'm going to break humanity out of the death, if you want to say, of the fallen human nature. He has redeemed us. Now he wants to sanctify us. He wants it to come to life. And that's what we're going to do. When God gives us the glorified body, we're going to look at this body. We were living dead compared to the abundant life that we now possess. This abundant life of Jesus, this abundant life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So, I mean, right now our DNA says get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, become food for worms. What was the DNA of Jesus and Mary? they didn't get old. They didn't get gray-haired. They didn't become wrinkled. They didn't become food for worms. Jesus ascended into heaven. Mary assumed into heaven. With what's coming for us is a new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II said is coming. And it is true. It's very, very close. I mean, it's so close. I don't know if you heard, but last night, somebody sent me an email, or it was the night before, of the Pope going to Moscow. Now, if you know the prophecies of Garabandel, that has to happen before everything else happens. And then what did Our Lady say? You know, the miracles that are going to happen are going to be like domino effects. You know, the 10 secrets, you know, everything's going to begin. We, like I said, we haven't seen anything yet. As this begins, it'll be difficult, but it means the kingdom's coming. We should be rejoicing of what's going to happen. It's even though it's going to be painful, because God has to purify the church and purify the world. Go to your room, clean your room as if you were dead. You know, everything has to be in order. Everything has to be perfected. Everything has to be, we need to get ready. We need to get ready. So even more, Jesus says, as the soul operates in my most holy divine will, what is human remains as though suspended. See, it's to learn how to enter into the divine qualities. Learn how, and again, nobody possesses it fully. Louisa did, but we're still learning. We have to go to confession each week. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Why? Because we're still in the fallen human nature. We have been redeemed, and Jesus is teaching us to be sanctified, but we're slow learners. And so even though the soul operates in the divine will, the human will remains as though suspended. Now, why? He's teaching us. He's guiding us. He's directing us. The divine life acts and takes its place. And then Jesus says, and my love has the freedom to form its attitude with the creature, with humanity. So this divine life that of Jesus, this divine life of Mary, that they breathed into Louisa, and Louisa put this down on paper so that we can learn how to do this. And again, it's reading, it's studying, it's putting this into practice. This divine life, Jesus says, in its acts, takes its place in the human. And he says, and my divine love has the freedom to form its attitude within the soul. So that the soul begins to learn how to be peaceful, joyful, and happy in all situations, how to be patient, how to be loving, how to be kind, how to be merciful, like Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This life, this divine life that our God wants us to possess, which is basically receiving these divine qualities, leaving the human ones, operating in the divine will, the human will becomes suspended. It's not alive anymore. And the divine life acts and takes its place within each and every one of us. And then Jesus says his divine love has the freedom to form its attitude. And what's the attitude of teenagers? That's basically how people live for the rest of their life, with this attitude. It's selfish. It's self-centered. It's egotistical. And as people mature, they especially once they have children and are learning how to raise them properly, the adult learns how to be selfless, from a teenager selfishness to an adult selfless, to the ego isn't me, but it's them. We need to take care of them. So this attitude of Jesus takes over. And not forcefully. He doesn't say, get out of my way. He says, how much do you want this? How much do you want my life reigning in you? So as he teaches us, as he teaches Louisa, humility is necessary to become mature. Okay. So you, as Jesus says, if they ridicule you, laugh at you, reject you, misunderstand you, he says, this is good. To have humility, Jesus says to Louisa, you must be humiliated. That's what Jesus is asking of us. Are you willing to begin to be humiliated? And when we go, oh, no, you have no right to do that, no, say that to me, you know, it's like Jesus says, look what they did to me. Look what they did to my mother. And he says, I need you to learn how not to have human qualities anymore, but divine qualities. So this humiliation that we all have to go through is necessary. It's not pleasant, but you begin to learn the life of Jesus. Jesus, if you went through this, who am I not to go through this? Jesus, if you went through this, who am I? And that's why the saints have always said that the bride of Christ must go to Calvary to be crucified with Jesus. And I think that's what we're going through right now. The bride of Christ must go to Calvary to be crucified, to be more like Jesus. The wedding dress that's stained and wrinkled, Jesus is ironing out. He's getting us ready for the wedding feast of heaven. And this is why we wear the ring. Jesus has proposed to us. And he says, I am going away, but I will come back to take you with me. So as he said to St. Faustina, the final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. This is what we're going through. We are, again, this attitude of Jesus, you're the Lord. You're my King. You're my Savior. You're my God. You're my all. You know me completely. You know how much you love us, and you want us to understand your love for us. So again, it goes back to the cross. If we have the cross, if we wear the cross, if we have the cross in our house, Christ crucified, if we have that on our door, Christ crucified, this is shows us that our home is where he dwells. He has conquered this home. He is asking that this room be cleaned so that he can reign as Lord and Savior and Master and King. And this is the attitude that Jesus promises those who, by doing your acts and your rounds, are receiving the divine qualities, little by little, atom by atom. It's not the fullness. And so that Jesus operates within us. Again, how many atoms do you have within you? I mean, think about that. And Jesus says, every act you do is like an atom. It's yes, I want to change this. I want to change from the human to the divine. I want to be that drop of water entering the cup filled with wine. I want to be completely transmuted, as Jesus tells Louisa. So volume 12, August 7th, 1918. I want to consume myself for love of you in this soul who gave me life within herself. So I make the soul feel the consummation of my life within her. So listen to what Jesus says, especially when we want to go to Holy Communion, when we receive Holy Communion. Jesus says, I want to consume myself for the love of you in this soul who gave me life within herself. So I make the soul feel the consummation of my life within her. The soul finds herself as though in a tight corner. The soul suffers mortal agonies, but no longer feeling the life of her Jesus within herself, she feels consumed. Feeling that my life is in the soul with which she was accustomed to living is missing, she struggles, she trembles, almost like my holy humanity on the cross when my divinity let it die, withdrawing strength from it. So here Jesus is saying this intimacy that God wants with us, and he explains this very clearly. I want to consume myself for the love of you. This, now he's talking to Louisa, because of what Jesus gave to Louisa, what we are reading and now are striving to live, Jesus says, I want to consume myself for love of you, Louisa, in this soul who gave me life within herself. So this soul of Louisa, who gives life to Jesus within her. Now Jesus wants that as well with us. So I make the soul, that's our soul, that's Louisa's soul, feel the consumption of my life within her. What is this consumption? This is what the whole world is going to go through when the fire from heaven comes down. It's symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Through this little newborn Louisa, this fire that's going to come down from heaven, this love that's going to come down from heaven is going to consume the world in love. It's not going to be separated from the love of God anymore in any way, shape, or form. This consummation that our God is asking of us, this wedding feast that God is offering to us, the soul finds herself as though in a tight corner. The soul suffers mortal agonies, but no longer feeling the life of her Jesus within herself, she feels consumed. So here we're getting a glimpse of this consummation that Louisa went through when she did not see Jesus. This consuming love of God's life, love and light, this great gift of the divine will, Louisa went through when she didn't see Jesus. Like we mentioned this before, when Louisa did not see Jesus, she couldn't breathe. When she did not see Jesus, her heart couldn't beat. When she did not see Jesus, she says, life is gone from me. So this, again, Jesus talks, so I make her soul feel the consummation of my life within her. The soul finds herself in a tight corner. The soul suffers mortal agonies. No longer feeling the life of her Jesus within herself, she feels consumed. Feeling that my life in her, with which she was accustomed to living, is missing, she struggles, she trembles. How do we feel when we're separated from Jesus? He's showing us what he wants from us. When we are separated from Jesus, are we struggling? Are we trembling? Like Jesus on the cross, when he let his divinity die, drawing strength from the divine will. Are we turning to God to get the strength that we need from the divine will? That's what Louisa has done. That's what Jesus is teaching her and showing us where we lack. Are we accustomed to living with Jesus? Are we missing this life with Jesus? Are we struggling and trembling like Jesus on the cross when we don't have Jesus? Most of us, it doesn't even cross our minds. We're in charge of our life. I'm in charge, you know, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. It's all our ego and our will. Jesus says, I want you, what I've done with Louisa, I want you also to possess. So he says, this consummation of the soul is not human, but fully divine. So here, again, this consummation that God is asking of us, of our soul, is not known humanly, but it's known divinely. So he says, I, God, feel the satisfaction if another divine life of mine had consumed itself for love of me. So here is why we pray in the divine will, why we do our rounds in the divine will, why we do our acts in the divine will. Jesus says, I want to reign in each person. I want to feel the satisfaction as if another divine life of mine had consumed itself for love of me. I surrender my human will so that you, Jesus, will reign in me completely, completely. In fact, he says, it was not her life that was consumed, but mine. So when we make the throne of Jesus in our heart, where he is our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, we want to be one with him, fused with him in the holy divine will. Jesus says, in fact, your life isn't being consumed, but my life in you is. And the soul can no longer feel or see, and it seems to her that I have died for her. And I renew the effects of my consummation for creatures while I redouble the grace, redouble the glory to the soul. And he says, and I, God, feel the sweet enchantment I feel the attractions of my holy humanity, which allowed me to do whatever I wanted. This is the life of Jesus. This is the life of Mary. And then he says to Louisa and to us, he says, therefore, you too, let me do whatever I want within you. Let me be free and I will carry out my life. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. He says, let me do what I want. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Let me do what I want, Jesus says. He's Jesus, walk in my walking, dance in my dancing, sing in my singing. Let me be free, Jesus says, in you. Let me do whatever I want within you. And I will carry out my life in you. You see the difference of doing the will of God, which is to reflect the holy humanity of Jesus, and living in the divine will, which is what? It's now to let Jesus reign in us. Jesus gazing in our gazing. Jesus beating in our heart beating. Jesus listening in our listening. Jesus speaking in our speaking. He says, you too, let me do whatever I want. I want this consummation of you and me as one. I want this fire of love reigning in my children. Jesus wants to bring about this new and divine way of holiness that the saints didn't know about. The saints knew how to do the will of God, following the holy humanity of Jesus, what he did, what scripture teaches us. But now Jesus says, I want you to live my interior life, how I live, what I thought, what I said, what I did, through you with your senses. So that's why he says in volume 36, I created the senses, the seeing, hearing, touching, feeling, smelling, in humanity so that I can be alive, Jesus says. I want to gaze in your gazing. I want you to share in these divine qualities of Jesus doing it. So when somebody says, well, I'm doing my rounds, well, you're not doing it correctly. Jesus is doing your rounds within you. You are nothing. God is everything. And that's the joy. I'm a speck of dust. You, Jesus, want to reign in this speck of dust. Let it be done as you say. May your kingdom reign in me on earth, this dust as it is in heaven. Glorious things are right around the corner. And Jesus is giving us the opportunity to get ready for it by living in the divine will, reading, studying, and putting into practice the truths that Jesus gave to Louisa. So let us pray. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that all the little children, holy divine will, and all their loved ones, and all their family be divinely healed. We pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.